This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 374, down 7.5. December corn, 381.75, down 6.5. March corn, 393.25, down 5.75. August soybeans, 1180.5, down 16.5. September soybeans, 1104.25, down 3.75. November soybeans, 1086.25, no change. September wheat, 537.75, no change. December wheat, 561, up a half. March wheat, 582, up a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Tuesday afternoon. A better-than-expected crop condition report helped weaken the corn and soybean values. Lower-than-expected crush figures also weighed on soybean prices. In the northern and western part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 5 to 7 cents lower at 363 to 379. Soybean bids were down 25 to 35 cents at 1213 to 1242. In the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted corn 6 to 9 cents lower at 358 to 381. Soybean bids were down 18 to 30 cents at 1232 to 1260. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 7 to 8 cents lower at 370 to 394, with soybean bids 25 to 35 cents lower at 1221 to 1257. Wheat bids were mostly steady. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors cash soybean bids, they were 16 to 26 cents lower at $12.50 to $13, with the basis steady to 10 cents lower at 70 to 120 over the August. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.29.10 to $4.41.10 per ton, and that was down $7.50 to $9.50 a ton. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 2 to 4 cents lower at 386 to 403, with the basis 4 to 6 cents higher at 12 to 29 over the September. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 5 to 8 cents lower at 390 to 395, with the basis steady to 3 cents higher at 16 to 21 over the September. Soybeans ended 23 to 31 cents lower at 1235 to 1248, with the basis 7 to 15 cents lower at 55 to 68 over the August. Wheat prices were 8 to 10 cents lower at 507 to 518, with the basis 8 to 10 cents lower at minus 31 to minus 20 under the September. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 to 8 cents lower at 410 to 413, and these elevators dropped their soybean prices 31 to 50 cents with quotations of 1255 to 1261. Soft wheat closed 1 to 2 cents lower at 531 to 540, and Milo ended the day 6 to 7 cents lower at 397 to 407. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. Starting in the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 342 up to 359, and soybeans ranged from 1048 to 1066. In the central part of the state, corn was 347 to 360, and soybeans were 1047 to 1068. Now, in the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 350 up to 365, and soybeans were 1054 to 1075. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 148.57, up 77 cents. October live cattle, 151.85, up a dollar. December live cattle, 152.50, up 25 cents. August feeder cattle to $11.52, up 85 cents. September feeder cattle to $11.82, up 70 cents. October feeder cattle to $11.77, up 85 cents. July lean hogs, $133.87, up 50 cents. August lean hogs, $130.72, up 37 cents. October lean hogs, $115.95, up 22 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 15th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 80 cents higher in the range of 119 to 133 with a weighted average carcass price of 131.17. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading mostly steady to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 72 to 78, 4 to 5 weights 74 to 80, 5 to 6 weights 76 to 82, and 600 pounds and up were 80 to 83, with a few at 85. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $90 to $95. Now for the opening report from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville. They had receipts of 494 head. Starting with the steers and heifers, they were $4 to $4.50 lower. Holstein steers were $1.50 to $2 lower. Slaughter steers choice, 11 to 1300 pounders were bringing $151 to $156.75. And 1,300 to 1,500 pound steers were bringing 150 to 157. Select and choice steers were bringing 143 to 150. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 142 to 153. And choice slaughter heifers, 1,000 to 1,200 pounds, were 150 to 155.25. And the 12 to 1,400 pound heifers were 153. Now in the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 152 to 154, and heifers on a live basis traded at 154. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,341 head. And from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 311 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $135.18, and that was 33 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $250.53, and that was 61 cents lower, with select carcasses at $243.46, and that was 96 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000. That compared to 117,000 last week and 124,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 397,000. That compared to 403,000 last week and 403,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.86. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.57. July corn delivered to Scottville, $3.77. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.57. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $12.34. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.68. July beans delivered to Scottville, $12.23. October beans delivered to Scottville, $10.68. July wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.95. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $3.86. Corn at Scottville is $3.77. Beans at Greenfield are $12.34. Beans at Scottville are $12.23. And wheat at Scottville is $4.95. For a look at how this week's grain markets are doing, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
It certainly is, and the market had kind of consolidated around the Friday report, hoping that maybe, or thinking that perhaps it might find a surprise in it that might give reason to change the direction of traffic, but it certainly did not. USDA didn't increase its corn or soybean yields, which it could have, but that's not unusual for the July report. Instead, traders are now assuming that it'll make big increases in its August report based on the weather forecasts and the conditions to date, and they're expecting bin buster corn and soybean crops. That was followed up on Monday afternoon with USDA's weekly crop progress report showing the best corn and soybean ratings since 1994. Now, those ratings 20 years ago produced what were considered to be kind of the standard of bin buster crops. Today's ratings are not as high as they were 20 years ago, but they're higher than any year in between then and now.
So pending some catastrophic weather event, we're looking at quite a great year for our crops.
We are looking for high yields, particularly for the corn crop. And I say particularly for the corn crop. It could be so for the soybean crop as well. But there's still a lot of things that could still go wrong for the soybean crop. Not that they will. We don't know that. But some of the things we need to be watching for is the possibility of white mold or sudden death syndrome showing up over the next couple of weeks. The conditions earlier this year were very conducive for that. And the current weather pattern will be conducive for it as well. But based on the conditions we had earlier this growing season, it's about time for those symptoms to start showing up, if they're going to. And so that's the big question. If they don't show up and we continue to live out the forecast and verify the forecast as it is, we could see a bumper soybean crop as well. But if those problems do start developing, then we pull back on those yields.
Now, with these great bin buster crops, prices have dropped quite a bit. When we get to harvest, would we potentially be looking at some storage problems as people sit on their crop rather than selling it, waiting for prices to go up?
Well, I'll even up that one. The old crop stocks that are still in the bin are a big concern to me, not so much soybeans, but for corn. I'm amazed as I travel across the Midwest and talk to farmers how many old crop bushels of corn are still out there that need to come to town to make room for the new crop, let alone trying to find enough room for the new crop as well. So I'm very concerned about the cash basis levels over the coming weeks and over the next several months and just how far that basis may fall in addition to the futures market, and may find many farmers in a must-sell type of situation at very cheap prices. So that's a real concern. And while we've been advocating for quite some months now getting that price protection in place.
Right, because as harvest comes about, if farmers don't open up some storage space, they could be sitting on their crop, literally.
Exactly right. And it is a good problem to have lots of bushels, but you need to be go into it wide-eyed and prepared for the consequences of those big bushels across the Midwest, because you aren't the only one with high yields. Your neighbor and the neighbor across the Midwest also be having big bushels. As you look at the crop rating state by state, the worst that we can find is an average crop in some states, and those ratings are pretty good as well. So a lot of bushels that need to find a home this fall.
So for those farmers who still have a lot of old crop corn left in their bins, what would you recommend that they do in the next few months here?
Well, when you wait this long, the recommendations are just kind of a no-win. Because sure enough, as soon as you sell, we get a little bounce in the market. But that's that paralysis that is the reason probably still have those bushels in the first place. There comes a point you have to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm just going to have to cut loose of these bushels and let go of them before the basis falls anymore. And then there are strategies you can follow that if the market shows signs of turning around where you can do some re-ownership, either on the board or with call options or option strategies, but you eventually have to cut loose of the bushel so that you are no longer at risk of the basis exposure.
We've talked a lot about corn and soybeans. How is the wheat crop looking now that I think it's safe to say pretty much all of it is in and done?
Well, the USDA confirmed that we have a bigger soft red winter wheat than what was expected by the trade, and a bigger hard red spring wheat than what was expected by the trade. So that boosted overall wheat stocks, surplus stocks for the 2014-15 marketing year to 660 million bushels. Certainly nothing to really get the bulls energized by, and it leaves the bears pretty emboldened now as far as being able to press the prices. We have been trying to consolidate the last couple of days on hopes of getting a post-harvest rally. Fundamentally, it's difficult to justify much of a rally in this market in an environment where the funds continue to liquidate the commodity and the positions across the board, as well as establish short or sold positions. It can happen in the wheat market seasonally. Sometimes the wheat market does try to find a reason to do so. But this is going to be a year where I think the rally potential is going to be limited until or unless we start seeing threats to the 2015 crop or being able to plant the 2015 crop.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. As we expect a bumper crop this year, we're going to need plenty of truck drivers to drive the crop where it needs to go. In fact, according to Don Schaefer, president of the Midwest Truckers Association, truck drivers and other similar jobs are in high demand right now.
Research done by, we know from the state of Illinois, for example, and other groups have come back and said the number one job need in Illinois is what they call TDL, Transportation, Distribution, and Logistics. That could be a truck driver, that could be a warehouse person, that could be someone who dispatches, what have you. That whole area of transportation is the number one job need in Illinois right now. It's growing. It continues to grow. Illinois is the transportation hub of the country. If it works on a spoke and a wheel type of system, Illinois is kind of that type of a situation. Different types of transportation. I mean, when we talk TD&L, transportation, distribution, and logistics, think of... think down the Metro East area. Think along I-270. Look along 270 there. You'll see just warehouse upon warehouse, millions of square feet of warehouse. Because the whole way that goods and are distributed now, they all go to a warehouse where they're broken down and then they're sent out to different places. You know, the Walmarts bring everything into one place and they break it down and they send it out. The Targets, the food stores, all of them do the same thing now. It's the most efficient way of moving goods and services. Well, you need people to man to staff those warehouses. You need people to schedule and the distribution and the services and the trucks and what have you. And you need the trucks to bring the stuff in and to take it out. And state of Illinois has determined that's the number one job need here in the state of Illinois right now. So the problem we have, of course, though, is getting enough people who would be interested in being in this type of business. Number one, truck drivers. You know, there's all sorts of truck drivers. There's over-the-road truck drivers. There's local truck drivers or regional guys. A lot of guys want to be home every night. That's fine. Other guys, maybe they're gone for a night. Other guys may be gone for a week or so, you know, and different types of truck drivers. And that's been the real dilemma, is to get people interested in truck driving. The federal law makes it a little tough because of the fact they say you can't drive a truck interstate, in other words, across state lines, until you're 21. Kid who comes out of high school interested in driving a truck, well, he can drive local, but he can't drive interstate. So until he's 21. So he may be tooling around from when he's 18, you know, driving around the area, but he can't get on the interstate and go, you know, Missouri, Idaho, no matter where he wants to go until he's 21. So what happens is it turns off a lot of people. They want to make the guy says, I want to make good money. Well, the interstate truck drivers make good money. And it's not uncommon for a guy to make $65,000 a year, you know, driving a truck interstate. And it's really hard because by the time these kids reach their age of 21, they found another job. They may be working construction. They may be working in a factory. They may decide, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and go back to school and do that. So that's the problem. And so now the question is, how do you solve that problem? And, you know, if you can streamline them into the system if you can cultivate them. Community colleges do a great job of training these people. Then hopefully you can hold on to them long enough that when they do reach 21, they can drive interstate. But maybe a guy doesn't want to. Maybe he just wants to drive a truck locally. Well, it's a great job if you're 18, 19, or 20. So bring him in and let him do it. It's also a great job that if you're, you know, you're coming back in and you're looking for a new job or another job. Say you're in your 30s or your 40s. Maybe you've been laid off from your other job. Maybe you decided, you know, I want to try something different. Midlife crisis. And again, community colleges have a wonderful truck driver training program. And get into that program and get the training. Learn behind the wheel how to drive a truck. Learn the classroom stuff. Get out there and get behind the wheel, get some experience, and again, it's a great career for someone who is looking for something different to do. So, you know, yeah, we always encourage it because we need them so bad.
And they're filling a very valuable need that we have just to keep things moving all across the country.
Sure. I mean, you know, everything that goes into a grocery store, everything that goes to the department store, you go to any place. I mean, it gets there by truck. I mean, you know, the gas station, the gas has to get there somehow. It comes from a terminal down in the Metro East area. You know, the groceries, well, it comes from a warehouse down around St. Louis. You know, all these things, it has to be moved by a truck at one time or another. You know, we always call it first mile, last mile. No matter what it is, it may go somewhere in a train, it may go somewhere in a barge, it may go somewhere in an airplane, but the first mile and the last mile is always going to be done by a truck.
Very, very true. And in order for there to be truck drivers, they need to have a medical card. CDL holders need to have their medical cards. And you just said that there were quite a few letters sent out to people letting them know that their medical cards have expired.
Yeah, the Illinois Secretary of State's office issues about 400,000 CDLs, commercial driver's license, every year in Illinois. These are for drivers all shapes, all sizes. They may be interstate, they may be intrastate drivers, no matter what. We've gone through a series of requirements under the federal regulation that we had to do a lot of changes to the CDL program. Federal mandates that said that you must, first of all, have your medical card, but then you also have to provide proof of that medical card to the Secretary of State's office. As of last week, about 20,000 of those 400,000 people never did supply or make a designation of what they were. If they were an interstate driver, if they maybe were exempt, they didn't need it because maybe they were a farm operator, what have you. Some were exempt, but they had to make that declaration with the Secretary of State's office. 20,000 out of the 400,000 did not. So the Secretary of State's office sent them a letter saying, you've never made your designation. Sorry, we're going to cancel your CDL. So what happened there was that a lot of people are scrambling. Basically, they have a 30-day window to get in compliance. And so we got a lot of people scrambling right now, those 20,000 people, to make sure that they take care of it. Maybe some people decided, you know what, I really don't need my CDL anymore. I'll let them cancel it. I'm not worried about it, you know. But other people who need it maybe are procrastinating, as they have been for gosh knows how long, are scrambling to get that information to the Secretary of State's office. So that's going on right now.
Right. I'm sure it was not the entire 20,000 who were planning to have their CDL expire.
Oh, no. But, I mean, we do know that those who had the requirement that they needed to have their medical card for how they drive, which is maybe an interstate driver, he's hauling for hire, he's a commercial hauler, he definitely needs it. There may be a situation where he's a farmer, he's now exempt because he hauls his own grain. He doesn't haul for hire. He's got farm plates on his truck, and all he does is puddle down the road, down, you know, a couple miles to the local elevator. He's exempt, so he really doesn't need the CDL anymore, doesn't need the medical card. So those are probably some of those who are in there. They'll be weaned out of the process.
But for those who they did not mean to have their CDL expire and they need to get that fixed and get a medical card to do so, how do they find practitioners who are certified to do this?
Well, this has been a continuing process, and we've talked about this. But as of last month, or I shouldn't say last month, in May, End of May, a new regulation went into place that said that if you are a truck driver, you have a commercial driver's license, and you need to have a Department of Transportation physical, as required because of the way your CDL is set up, you now had to go to a certified medical examiner. A certified medical examiner can be a chiropractor, could be a nurse practitioner, or could be a medical doctor. Any one of the three who have been certified by the U.S. Department of Transportation. And those are the only ones now who can do a DOT physical. They got to be certified, they got to do the certification, and they got to send a copy of your certification in to the Department of Transportation. The problem is we only have so many of them out there. So it's been real slow in getting these guys and women, men and women, certified to do this. It's picking up. It's gotten a lot better. We were at a point, we only had a couple hundred for the entire state to do 400,000 DOT physicals.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it's gotten a lot better, though, just in the last couple of weeks. A lot more people have gotten certified, but you got to make sure that they are part of the medical registry. And to do that, you can go to U.S. Department of Transportation's website, and you can look up, it's right there, very bold on their website, saying Federal Medical Registry, Certified Federal Medical Registry. And click that, and it'll break it down. You put your zip code in and say, my zip code's, 62625 or whatever, and it'll give you everybody who's certified medical examiner within 5, 10, 15, 25 miles, whatever you want.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.